This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.
This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, June 24th. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for the Wall Street Journal. Drivers for Uber, Lyft, DoorDash, and others are flocking to apps designed to solve some of the pain points that gig workers often face. Think aggregating their income across platforms and pointing them towards legal and insurance help. Coming up, our reporter Priyika Rana will fill us in on these apps and what's behind their rise. That's after these headlines. The antivirus software tycoon John McAfee was found dead in a Spanish jail cell yesterday, according to his attorney. McAfee was found hours after a Spanish court ordered him to be extradited to the U.S. to face tax-related criminal charges. According to the Associated Press, authorities are still investigating the circumstances of his death. Our cybersecurity reporter Robert McMillan says McAfee was an outsized presence in the tech industry.
John McAfee was larger than life. He founded the company McAfee in 1987, which at the time made, you know, it made him a pioneer in computer security. There were these viruses that people were showing up on people's computers were a very new thing back then. And the idea that you could actually sell a product that would get rid of them and protect people was a novel idea. And he made it work. He was an iconoclast, and he put himself at odds with the law. You'd see pictures of him on his Twitter account holding automatic weapons and claiming that he would never be brought to conform to what the law wanted him to do.
Tech giants are racing to buy up clean energy. Amazon says it'll buy 1.5 gigawatts of production capacity from 14 new solar and wind plants around the world. It's part of the company's efforts to use renewable energy to cover all its activities by 2025. The new deals will also make Amazon the biggest corporate purchaser of clean energy in the U.S., according to the Renewable Energy Buyers Alliance. Amazon's move is part of a wider trend of tech companies like Google, Facebook, and Microsoft making big investments in green energy as they work to reduce their overall emissions. Our reporter Sam Schechner says all that investment is changing the market for renewable energy.
In many cases, when things were more expensive, there were a lot of government subsidies. In some countries, those have dried up and companies have stepped in to become the biggest off-takers of that electricity, essentially helping guarantee a marketplace for it and helping get these things financed.
You can hear more from Sam on this morning's episode of our sister podcast, What's News? Apple is stepping up its fight to keep control over which apps are allowed on its devices. Lawmakers in Washington and EU regulators are considering measures that would force Apple to allow third-party apps to be downloaded directly onto iPhones and iPads, a practice known as sideloading. As it stands, apps must go through Apple's App Store, which critics say raises concerns about competition. But in a report released yesterday, Apple argued that sideloading would hurt customers by reducing privacy protection and parental controls and possibly increasing the threat of ransomware attacks. And we report exclusively that the Chinese tech giant Ant Group, led by the billionaire Jack Ma, is in talks with a state-owned enterprise to create a credit scoring company, according to people familiar with the matter. The move could lead to Ant, which owns the hugely popular payments platform Alipay, sharing the vast amounts of data it's gathered on the financial habits of Chinese citizens with state regulators. An Ant spokesman declined to comment on the plans. All right, coming up after the break, gig workers use DoorDash and Uber to book deliveries and rides. But there are some things that those platforms can't do. We talk about some options workers have found after the break.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. Insights. You need them to solve business problems, but buried in volumes of disparate data, they're seemingly invisible. C3 Generative AI enables business leaders to instantly access secure, hallucination-free, verifiable insights from a unified knowledge source, all with a natural language search. Turn the invisible into the obvious with C3 Generative AI. Learn more at c3.ai.
drivers for companies like Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash have been adopting apps that help them navigate their gig work. The popularity of these apps coincides with the debate over whether gig workers should be classified as contractors or full employees. For more on all this, I'm joined by our reporter Preetika Rana. Hey, Preetika, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Amanda.
So just to start here, tell us about these apps. What's behind their rise and just how popular have they become?
What's interesting is that some Uber drivers took to building these apps before the pandemic. So one of these apps can track weather, events, aggregate your activity across multiple platforms because a lot of drivers aren't just driving for Uber. They're also driving for Lyft and delivering food for DoorDash. Another app can just transform your phone into a dash cam that can record the road, which helps in terms of accident claims. It can record the interior of your car, which can help them dispute wrongful passenger complaints. So even though some of these apps aren't entirely new, we're seeing app downloads surge to a level that is exceeding pre-pandemic levels. So these apps in many ways have become popular, more popular now than they were before the pandemic. And one of the reasons that driver groups and app makers themselves are giving us is that there is a lot more awareness now about the tools that are at drivers' disposal. You know, the pandemic kind of thrust workers' rights onto the fore. And driver groups really use that to drive awareness about some of these tools and services that they can leverage.
And it seems like a lot of the apps that are gaining momentum are designed to address some of the complaints that drivers have with the more mainstream Ubers, Lyfts, and so on. But to be clear here, these apps are meant to sort of augment the experience of working for Uber or Lyft, not necessarily compete with them.
Absolutely. These apps are designed to just make gig work a better gig and, you know, help drivers better manage their activity across platforms, better manage pay, equip them with more information, arm them with more evidence that they could use to dispute wrongful complaints. One app, for example, is also helping drivers verify that they are paid correctly. So what this app can help drivers do is that they can upload their monthly Uber statements. And then this app matches the pickup and drop off location. And it calculates, okay, how many miles was each trip? And then it matches the number of miles that Uber paid you for. And if the miles don't match up, then it flags that actually you were underpaid for this trip. You drove 5 miles, but Uber only paid you for 3 miles. It's arming drivers with more information that they say they often don't get from the companies because, you know, the companies don't directly employ them. So there is not as much transparency as the drivers say they would like.
Which I think begs the question, where are the main platforms in all this? The Ubers, the DoorDashes, the Lyfts. What are they saying about all this?
Well, I spoke to Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash, and they all say that they're aware of these apps. And in fact, they acknowledge that these apps can be helpful. Lyft said that, yes, we understand that it's very difficult for drivers to track their activity across multiple platforms. So Lyft said that we're actually happy that they're turning to these tools. Of course, the app said that, you know, it's not that they don't provide any infrastructure. Of course, they don't consider these gig workers as employees. So it's not like you can pick up the phone and call Uber HR and report something. But these apps say that, you know, we have put in some framework to make it easier for drivers to approach us. There are, you know, there's a help support in all of these apps, and drivers can use that to approach representatives, talk to them about issues. What Uber is doing is that during the pandemic, because their in-person complaint centers are not open, they're now giving drivers virtual tutorials, you know, an online guidebook on how to navigate certain things like filing an accident claim or how to, you know, use Uber's partnerships to get insurance. So the apps are also trying to, in some instances, Uber, Lyft, and DoorDash have even partnered with some of the third-party apps that we're talking about so that it can make it more seamless for these apps to pull data like their earnings and mileage, because they recognize that, you know, their platform can't do that. Uber can't pull data from Lyft and Lyft can't pull data from DoorDash, but a third-party app can do that very seamlessly.
And Preetika, as you sort of alluded to, this is all coming as the employment status of gig workers is being really scrutinized by lawmakers both in the US and abroad. What is the status of those conversations, and how does the rise of these apps play in?
That's a great question. So during the pandemic, you know, regulators around the world tried to give better protections to workers. In California, in fact, there was a high-stakes legal battle where California dragged Uber and Lyft to court and wanted to force them to reclassify their drivers as employees. You know, Uber, Lyft, and other companies that rely on gig workers mounted their own campaign where they asked state voters to exempt them from such a reclassification, and they were successful in doing that. So what the apps did is they took a middle ground where they said, well, we want drivers to have the flexibility, so we don't want them to be employees. But at the same time, they gave them some benefits that didn't exist before, say, you know, health insurance for drivers who drive more than 15 hours a week. So while they did give drivers better protections than what existed before, it's of course not going to match the web of protections that, say, a full-time employee gets. Some other cases, they have lost those battles with governments and regulators. In the UK, for example, Uber recently granted its drivers unemployment status that entitled them to vacation and, you know, pension. So this is a space that is evolving and will be very interesting to watch, because ultimately the future of gig work kind of hangs in balance.
So where does all this ultimately leave drivers?
I mean, just now, Uber and Lyft are kind of facing a problem of driver shortages as the economy reopens and people are vaccinated and feel safe to hail an Uber. Not enough drivers are returning to the roads, and we're seeing prices skyrocket already. What's interesting to me is that, you know, Uber and Lyft are facing this massive shortage of drivers. Prices are rising as a result. But what we're seeing is that the drivers who are taking to roads, who are returning, are increasingly turning to these apps and tools that can help them do their job better. So I think as we emerge from this pandemic, it is just showing that gig workers have become more aware of the tools that are at their disposal, and they're increasingly turning to them to make, you know, gig work a better gig.
All right, that's our reporter, Preetika Rana. Thank you, Preetika.
Thank you.
That's it for today's tech news briefing. You can find more tech stories on our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please do rate and review us in your app store. It really does help. I'm Amanda Llewellyn for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Wall Street Journal sponsor C3 AI. C3 Generative AI equips enterprises with verified, traceable answers. It's secure, hallucination-free, LLM agnostic, and IP liability-free. Learn more at c3.ai. This is Enterprise AI.